This is a trustworthy saying. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I really love that passage of scripture from 2 Timothy right there. It just means so much what St. Paul is saying there. He's saying that if we are unfaithful to God, he's still going to be faithful to us, no matter what. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny the fact that he has claimed us, that he has so united himself to who we are through holy baptism, that he could never deny us, no matter how unfaithful we could be. And if that's not something that you say to yourself often, over and over, repeating the scripture, reminding you of how dearly God loves you, then you should. And that is a phrase which should change your life, because it's changed mine. Now, you know, Pope Francis is one who's not one to shy away from reporters in any way. He's always talking to reporters, always being interviewed by them. Well, one of the first sort of interviews that he had, probably about 3 years ago or something like that, was a report in which this reporter was getting really in depth into who Pope Francis was, because he caught the imagination of the world. And what he decided to do, he said, I'm going to ask him a really deep, personable, and probing question. And so he turned to the Holy Father and he said, Pope Francis, who is Jorge Bergoglio? Remember, Jorge Bergoglio is his given name that he was born with before he became Pope Francis. So he was really wondering, who is Pope Francis? Who is this man who is before me in reality? He was asking the Pope, how would you define yourself? What would you say that you are if you were to consolidate the whole of who you are into just a little thing? And when he said this, the Pope was sort of caught off guard. He wasn't expecting to have a deep question like that asked of him in the midst of all these other superfluous questions about theology. So he paused for a little bit. Now, what would you say? If you were in that same position, how would you define yourself? Would you say, you know, I work on the railroad. I'm a railroader. Maybe you'd say that I'm a businessman or a student or a young professional. Maybe you would say that I'm a mom or a dad, a grandmother or a grandfather, a sports fan maybe. Possibly you'd say that you're a Catholic. Those are all ways in which maybe you would say, but if you were asked the same question, what would you say? How would you define yourself? You know, the Pope, when he was asked this question, he had that long pause. And because of that long pause, the interviewer thought, well, maybe the Pope didn't hear me very well, so I'll say it again. Holy Father, do you want me to repeat the question? And he said, no, no. And he began to pause just a little bit longer, wondering about how he was going to answer. And so Pope Francis, what he could have done, he could have just turned to the interviewer and said, I'm a priest. I'm a bishop. Could have said, I'm the supreme pontiff, the vicar of Christ, the one chosen by God to lead his entire church out of all of humanity. Pope Francis could have said, well, I'm an Argentinian. I'm the son of Mario and Regina Bergoglio. They're my parents. Maybe he could have said, I'm a soccer fan, or one who fights for the downtrodden, trying to lift their spirits up, or just a simple guy who the church has put in a high position. You know, those are all things that are true that Pope Francis could have said. But how did he reply? Pope Francis, after that long pause, he turned to the reporter and he said, I am a sinner. And that is the most accurate description. I'll say that again. Let that sink in. Pope Francis said, I am a sinner. That is the most accurate description. What the Holy Father is saying above all else that he defines himself as is as a sinner. That should strike something within us. That means that he says, I have been unfaithful to Christ. That's who I am. I'm an unfaithful one. I'm somebody who's not perfect. Is that the response you would have given? Because I know that's not the response I would have given in that situation. But how true is it? How true is it to define himself in that way? That's something that each one of us can relate to. Shows us that the Pope Francis sees himself on the same level as each and every human being in the world, a sinner. I have been unfaithful to Christ too, time and time again, because I sin often. I'm unfaithful to God at moments when I become impatient, when things aren't going at the pace of life that I'd rather them be. I'm unfaithful to Christ when I'm judgmental of others or critiquing others. I'm unfaithful when I'm selfish, when I want to do things my way instead of the way which God has laid out before me. Those are ways in which I am unfaithful to God. But you know what? God has never been unfaithful to me. Not a single time in my entire life has he ever been. And the only time when he would ever be unfaithful to me would be if I denied him. If I completely turn my back on him. What that means is, that means that if I were to stubbornly hold on to mortal sin, refusing to go to confession, that's the only time that God would allow me to be separated from him. And it's only because he's such a respectful gentleman that he wouldn't force himself upon me. He would accept my will in leaving him, but he wouldn't leave me, because he is faithful when I am faithless, because he cannot deny what he did for me at holy baptism. This is something that should change our lives. Because if we love him, if we want to follow Christ, if we want to give him that perfect effort like we talked about 2 weeks ago in being a good Catholic, then he's always going to be faithful to us. That should fill us with great hope, should it not? Great hope that no matter what, he's going to remain faithful to us. Because what does the gospel show for us so fluidly all throughout, but especially in today's gospel? God wants to heal us. Not just from bodily leprosy, but he wants to heal us at the very interior of our being. That's how much he cares for us. That's not just good news, that's really good news. But there's problems. The problem comes in when we get so focused upon ourselves and upon our own worthiness. We focus so often, don't we, upon the ways when we're unfaithful. And that creates a wall because we're focused solely upon our unworthiness. You know, I have a priest friend who's told me a story about some of the things that he does in the confessional. You know, sometimes in the confessional, he'll turn to somebody and he'll just say, you know, get over yourself. Yeah, that sort of frightens the penitent who's there confessing their sins. And go look at him sheepishly and say, Father, come on, that's not a real nice thing to do. And he says, that is the nicest thing I could possibly do for you. Because what's going on is you're spending way too much time focusing upon yourself and upon your sinfulness. And you're not spending enough time focusing upon God's mercy and how much he loves you. Don't focus so much on your sin. Focus on how much God wants to forgive you. And isn't that true? That when we focus upon our sin, we put something between us and God, and then we don't turn to him for forgiveness. God is a God of mercy. God wishes to be merciful to us, and we're the biggest obstacle to that because we don't let him be merciful to us. Just like in the gospel, right? In the gospel, we had those 10 lepers who all got healed, right? But only one of them was focused on Jesus. Only one of them came back to him because he recognized that Jesus is the merciful healer. The others, what they were doing, they were focused upon themselves. Focused upon the disease that they had to go and hurry off to show the priest to show that they were cured. And as soon as they realized that they were cured, what did the other 9 do? They just turned to themselves and said, you know, I knew I was pretty good. I knew I'm great. I knew there wasn't really anything so wrong with me. And because of that, they focused on themselves and never went back to thank God. They were so focused upon their disease that they didn't ever think of the person who healed them. They never went back to God again. It was only that one Samaritan leper who went back with gratitude and came to Jesus because he was focused upon Jesus and his mercy. So what does that mean to us? It should mean profound things to us. Because when we focus upon ourselves and we focus upon our sinfulness or our unfaithfulness, because each of us is horribly unfaithful to God, that's something I don't have to convince you all, right? You all know you're good Catholics. You want to follow God. If the Pope is somebody who defines himself as a sinner, then we all know that we're sinners. But each of us has been unfaithful to God. But God has never been unfaithful to a single one of us, not even for a moment. He always claims us. So when we go to receive his mercy in the confessional, he's always there to forgive us, and he isn't worried about what we did. He isn't worried about what we didn't do. He's more interested in what he can do for us. And that's where we ought to be focused too. We want to make it so often all about ourselves, what we do, what we fail to do. But Jesus just wants to say, what I can do for you trumps all of that. I can make you great again. That's what I want to do. Because it's not about us, it's about him. Just like when we worship at Holy Mass, when we turn toward him, it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. Life that we live as Christians should always be a life of gratitude. And think about it. If somebody were to come up to you and sit next to you, maybe at the table for lunch or at the senior center or someplace, if they were to sit next to you and all you did was turn to them and tell them, you know, I'm the worst. I never do any good. I'm a horrible, horrible person. Are they going to want to come sit next to you next time? No, they're not. That's not an attractive thing to do. All this self-deprecation, even if it's true, they're not going to want to sit next to you again. But what if instead you talked about yourself in a real way and you said, you know what, saying the same thing, I have been very unfaithful to God, unfaithful to Jesus, but you know what, he's always been faithful to me. Let me tell you what he's done for me. If you were to start a conversation like that, that's how something that's incredibly attractive. It's going to bring people and draw people to you because you have something that they want. Each one of us knows that we're wounded. Each one of us knows that we need some healing in our life. And if you demonstrate that you've been healed, they're going to be interested in wanting to know how that happened. And that's how our congregation is going to grow. It's by that attractiveness. What has God done for me? Let me tell you. Even though I don't have it all together. That's attractive. And so that's the point of our lives, right? The first thing that we're supposed to do is come to know God, to love him, to know his love. But then we're sent out to bring that love to others, to share that with other people. As Pope Francis said, he said, I'm a sinner, but he didn't leave it there. The next thing that he began to tell the interviewer is he said, yeah, I'm a sinner, but I need to know that I'm a beloved son so that I can become a beloved father. What he's saying by that is he's saying, I need to know that I'm loved by God so that I can let other people know that they too are loved by God. So that I can share that belovedness and help them to recognize that they are. Because when I know that I'm loved by God, and I can begin to treat others like they are loved by God. And then from there, they'll be able to see that they themselves are loved by God. It's a simple process. We got to know it first. And then we can be able to act upon it in our lives. And then others might be able to see that in themselves. So it's not about focusing upon our sinfulness or our unfaithfulness, but rather it's all about focusing upon God's love, upon God's faithfulness to us. And the key to getting there is what? It's gratitude. We got to have that gratitude. Now there's a little song that I'm reminded of when I was a little kid, when I was a young man. That played over and over again on the radio station that I'd listen to. A beautiful Christian song. And I think it cinches this together for us really well. It says, look what you've done for me. Your blood has set me free. Jesus, my Lord, look what you've done for me. I haven't been the same ever since the day I called your name. Oh God, my God, look what you've done for me. Up to your cross I crawled, and now I'm standing 10 feet tall. Jesus, my Savior, look what you've done for me. I'm free, at last I'm free. I owe you my life completely. Oh God, my God, what do you want from me? And you know what he wants? He just wants us to focus on him in gratitude. Because when we come to know what he's done for us, it is then that we are able to truly be free. If we are faithless, Christ will still remain faithful because he can't deny himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.